He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Wednesday. It is the day before Thanksgiving, November 24th. This is professional money manager Bill Gunderson and a chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite. Barry, they thought we'd be in a line at the airport or, busting for some nearby town to see mom or something like that. But no, we're here live today.
Yes, we are. Getting a plethora, getting our Thanksgiving meal of economic data today.
I'll tell you what.
3 days worth.
There is a ton of economic data here this morning, and the market has improved quite a bit since the open. We've had a nice, we were down quite a bit at the open, and now we're not quite back to even, but almost there. The Dow is down 97 right now, 35,718. The culprits today are pretty much the retail stocks. We'll get into that. And Nike is the big retail stock in the Dow. That's hurting the Dow a little bit today. And American Express, the other one hurting the Dow. The NASDAQ was down almost 200. It was down over 200. Now it's down just 77. The NASDAQ being hurt by the retail components in the NASDAQ, which J.W. Nordstrom's, is that a NASDAQ stock? I think it is. Autodesk is also hurting the NASDAQ here today. The S&P's down 11 to 46.79. Small caps down 0.75%. Crude oil up 9 cents. Light trading today. Gold down $1.60. We got two more here. The bond market, is that 9 basis points or one? Yeah, 9 more basis points. 1.68 on the 10-year, and Bitcoin's down $1,134. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, a chartered financial analyst. You know, yesterday the NASDAQ took another spill, and it's really focused and concentrated in the software, the cloud, the cybersecurity stocks, and to some extent the semiconductor stocks. And I think it's kind of some of these investors getting out in front of what they perceive as another rising interest rate environment, Barry. Because they're taking down the highest PE stocks, it would seem. And, interest rates have not gone up that much, but it's all been since the Powell announcement. Initially, the market rallied and then started to turn south in the NASDAQ area particularly. The oil stocks were strong yesterday, but interest rates were up 9 basis points on the day of the Fed announcement, another 4 yesterday, and it looks like up again a little bit here today. You know, it's going to be a light trading day. Well, we may not be in the airport standing in line, trying to check our baggage and things like that. Instead, we're here with our baggage doing another live show. A lot of people are standing in line right now at the airport and are on the road, and we're going to have some pretty light trading volume here today. You can't take much here from what happens today because of the light volume. But we will be watching interest rates. I'll be working a full day here getting a ready for a newsletter again, half a day on Friday in the market. Tomorrow the market is closed. But yesterday, I would say maybe Zoom had a big impact. Zoom is a software stock. It's a video conferencing stock. It was in the right place at the right time during COVID. Now, things not as great, but it took down a lot of the other software stocks yesterday, like CrowdStrike, Snowflake, ServiceNow. Some of these we do own. HubSpot, Atlassian, which is Team, Asana. And many of these companies are involved in the types of software used to manage services and applications used by remote workers, okay? There's the common thread that runs through a lot of these stocks. In my opinion, though, most of these stocks are great stocks with or without the remote working. I think Zoom is much more dependent upon the remote working than most of them. But they kind of all went down in sympathy yesterday with the drop in Zoom. And there's been some horrendous reports out of the retail sector today. J.W. Nordstrom's, we'll get to them in a little bit, and Gap Stores. And they're saying that the demand is there, Gap Stores, but they can't get the supply up to snuff, having trouble meeting the demand. And Nordstrom's is blaming their shrinking profit margin. They're sinking profit margin on rising labor cost. And then, there's another interesting story that I want to expound a little bit on a little bit later. Best Buy yesterday was talking about the shoplifting issue. And they're blaming organized crime for targeting Best Buy stores. And it's become a big drain on their income statement. So that is something new entering into the retail sector. That's a problem that's kind of out of control right now. All right. Here's the latest from our friend Kathy Wood at ARK Funds. Kathy Wood says her firm is testing a more aggressive strategy that would be ARK on steroids. Okay, Barry. Good idea, bad idea.
I didn't know if it was actually her that said it. That's where I was.
She was on CNBC.
And had to click on it. Yeah,
it was a CNBC interview yesterday. This woman, I don't know. I mean, I would label it reckless what she's doing. Here's what her latest idea. Okay, so she's trailing this year the S&P 500 by 400 basis points. She's down 15%, and the S&P is up about 25 or so, okay? So that means she's behind 40%. Now, what she wants to do is start shorting the stocks that make up the indexes that she's trailing so badly and continuing to buy her transformational stocks, which are getting crushed this year. Okay,
so essentially a Paris trade for what she's trying.
Yeah.
Basically doubling down on her being right.
Yes.
And usually you would do that Paris trade in the opposite direction based on kind of what's happened to her fund. But in other words, she's doing it the other way.
Now the steroids
part makes sense. I was trying to put it in context when I was looking at it earlier today.
The more horribly that her funds perform, she seems to get more stubborn and stiff-necked about it all. There comes a point, I've just seen it a lot of times, where you've got stubborn people in the market, the Peter Schiffs of the world, and who's been wrong about the market for years and is unwilling to admit he's wrong, okay? I guess, I don't know, it takes a strong person, I guess, to admit that they're wrong. I don't care if it's in a marriage or if it's among siblings, but the right thing to do, the big thing to do, is to admit you're wrong and change your ways. But instead, these people just seem to go deeper and deeper into their, being wrong. That's just my take on it from a guy who's looked at a lot of investors and the psychology of investing. I've met with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, so I have plenty of personality traits and types that I've dealt with in my life. And I would just say one of the most dangerous traits that somebody can have is continuing on a course that is leading to destruction and not reversing that course and admitting when they're wrong and changing their ways. But God bless her. She's going to go down with the ship and the ark. It's just not built on a sound foundation, in my opinion. And she's claiming that most of the indexes are built on stocks that are value traps. I know all about value traps, okay? I've seen value traps. Those are companies like IBM and AT&T that have very low P.E. ratios. But, you know, they're not going anywhere. So I agree on a certain number of stocks. But if you look at the, you know, the Dow's got some good stocks in it. I don't think Microsoft, I don't think Apple and things like that. I wouldn't be shorting those stocks. And doubling down on Teladoc and, you know, the others in her universe. But it is what it is. You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to do with whomever. Anyways, this is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back in today's Best Stocks Now show. Twin soldiers and Nixon. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with the Dow down 110, S&P down 17, NASDAQ down 91 right now. It's prediction season, then two more big banks weighing in or big money managers weighing in where they think the market will go next year. Let's begin with the optimistic one. Then we'll go with the pessimistic view from Bank of America. The optimistic view, with a caveat, comes from Stiefel. Stiefel says that the central banks could drive stocks higher all the way through to the middle of next year. The middle of next year, okay, 2023. And where do they think that stocks could go next year? Well, I would say they're the highest one out there, 5,500. 5,500 is where they think, and they're calling for 6,750 by mid-2023. By mid-2023, okay? 6,750. They say, however, okay, what have been the two big bubbles in Wall Street history? Well, obviously was the crash of 28 and 29. And the one that I witnessed in 98 and 99 through 2000, which took 80% out of the NASDAQ, they say that a third bubble is percolating. Well, I would say without question, if we got to 6,750, and they think the biggest risk is lowering the S&P 500 P.E. ratio. And I want to get to the part here that is right up your alley, Barry, as a CFA. They're talking about the discount rate, okay? With the rising interest rates, that's going to impact the discount rate. Describe that for our listeners.
Right, and the discount rate will go, as interest rates go up, the discount rate goes up as well. And so when you take, let's just say we're going to earn some money 5 years from now, right, as the higher the, you know, and then, of course, well, we want to make that into, calculate that in, well, how much is 5 years cash flow from now worth today? Right, so you have future value versus present value. Well, when you that discount rate, which you bring those cash flows back to today's dollars, that's you're dividing by. You know, part of the division is the discount rate. So as that rate goes up, it's going to make those future cash flows less worth less in today's dollars. So that's where, you know, that's where you get, you know, as interest rates go up. That's why you've seen some of the interest rate sensitivity. Especially in the names that, you know, they may not have any earnings now. They're expected to have earnings, say, 4 or 5 years from now. Well, those earnings now in today's dollars are going to be worth less than, say, they were, you know, in a very low interest rate environment.
Yeah, and that's why we're watching. That's why we're keyed so much on this 10-year and this interest rate environment. And the Fed certainly is watching it. a little bit on the nervous and scared side, I would imagine. You know, we saw a pretty big jolt that happened very quickly in February and March of this year, where interest rates went up to 1.80, and that just shredded all of last year's winning stocks that had gotten up to ridiculously high multiples. And that's where the biggest, you know, that's where the biggest risk is in the high PE, especially the stocks that don't have earnings.
Right, and that's why we're on Fed watch. You know, we've
exactly.
Everyone's watching the Fed. Of course, today, you know, you had those the jobless claims plunge to 199,000. Then some of these jobless numbers, they can be, you can have some data, you know, survey or data anomalies. This is certainly could potentially be one. I mean, you've got jobless claims plunge to 199,000, which is actually the lowest level since 1969. And so, you know, what, you know, so is this data, is this real data or not? You know, we'll have to wait another week and see how things shake out. But that, you know, part of the Fed is, you know, one is to keep, inflation around the 2-3% level. Also is what they refer to as full employment. And this, you know, with initial jobless claims going so low, you know, it's further fuel for the, you know, for the fact that the Fed may need to raise faster than expected, and that's translating into some of these events that we're seeing in the NASDAQ and elsewhere.
Now, here's another view. Stiefel's basically saying we're going to get to that point in mid-2024, that bubblicious point when the S&P gets to 6750. I think, personally, that's a really optimistic view there. And that one, I'm not going to buy into that one at all. Bank of America, on the other hand, is saying we are kind of there now with that bubble. They are saying that by next year they expect the S&P around 4,600. Okay, Stiefel's at 5,500. 4,600 is where Bank of America is at, which, you know, it's at 4,680 right now. And so they're predicting a small decline for the market. They're comparing the situation we're in today similar to 2000, the year 2000, which I would say we're not all the way there yet, but I would say certain sectors are even worse than the year 2000. Rivian was a perfect example of that, in my opinion. These days, they say, lofty expectations are built into the market, and they predict the S&P 500 will close out next year at 4,600, or 2% from where it stands right now. A chief reason, now this is exactly what you just explained, they expect the discount rate for stocks to increase. Okay, they expect volatility to pick up. They think that the strong relationship between the CPI and the PE multiple for the market, that's very, very critical to keep your eye on going forward. So anyways, you know what? I just like to give everybody's opinions. We've, over the last several weeks, we've gone through macro outlooks anywhere from 4,400. I think Morgan Stanley was the lowest, all the way up to 5,500. Stiefel's at 5,500. I can tell you where the consensus is. The consensus for next year is at about 5,100. But, Barry, that's based on a P.E. multiple around 21, which, you know, the long-term average is 16 to 17.
Right.
So in order for us to get to that, to maintain that 21 P.E. where we are now, that's the forward P.E., interest rates have to remain low. Otherwise, that's another impact you will see. If rates keep going up, that multiple is going to contract. And so what's Kathy Woods doing? Her firm is testing a more aggressive strategy that would be ARK on steroids. I think she's going absolutely, I mean, it's like she's putting gasoline on the fire of her ARK funds, but it is what it is. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about Society Pass, Best Buy, Qualcomm, AECOM, Gap Stores, Nordstrom, Deere, Nothing runs like it. Deere, Autodesk, and several others. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. You know, Barry, since we've been doing the show, we are just seeing this crazy connection between, I mean, there should be a connection. The NASDAQ, interest rates have gone down now. We're down 4 basis points on the day. The NASDAQ, which was down 200, is now down just 36 points. So you had a 164% rally in the NASDAQ about a 6 to 7 basis point move in the 10-year, okay? Now, I'm going to do a little bit of rough math here. This has been my observation over the last since the big drop in February and this drop that we've seen the last few days. I'm seeing every basis point move in the 10-year equal about 25 NASDAQ points, okay? So if interest rates go up 1 basis point, you see a 25-point drop in the NASDAQ. Now, let's extend that out further. A 10-point move, let's say interest rates go up 10 basis points on Friday, that's equivalent to about 250 NASDAQ points. And it works both ways, okay? You know, this is rough math, but it's pretty close. Now let's take it out a step further. We're currently, at 1.65. If we went up 100 basis points to 2.65, that would be 2,500 NASDAQ points. So you're 16,000, you'd be down around 13,500. Okay, that's rough math, but that seems to be the correlation, pretty close to it right now. For every basis point move in the 10-year, it's impacting the NASDAQ, which obviously is more higher PE, more impacted by the move in interest rates than the Dow or the S&P 500 are. So there you go. There's your connection and a little bit of math there on that. Okay, so now let's go to some individual stocks here. The first one I wanted to mention, you know, a lot of these stocks that are the hot stock of the day and they're up 150, 200%, man, do they come back to earth. We mentioned Society Pass earlier this week, SOPA, S-O-P-A. It was the stock of the day. It was like up 200% or so. Now it's just getting thrashed. Yesterday, SOPA was down 71%. So, you know, if you're looking for a quick in-and-out trading strategy, when you see these biggest percent gainers on the day, see if you can short them. You know, go out there and see if there's a shares that you can borrow, because it's a very high probability that they're going to come down to earth. Best Buy CEO: organized crime is a horrible change in the retail business. He reported Q3 results that were pretty good, but the stock got whacked. And in the conference call after the Best Buy earnings report, the CEO pointed to organized crime as one of the factors that impacted margins. They have a woman CEO. She also noted higher promotional activity and costs, but she said that the thefts consist of loosely organized groups going into stores and grabbing merchandise. She noted that Best Buy is among many retailers who have faced a spike in these attacks. Kroger also highlighted organized crime as a reason for its reduced margins when reported. You know, I guess as an analyst now, you know how you build those pro forma income statements going forward? You've got to build in a line item. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to read their income statement. I don't know if they have a line item for theft, the cost effect. Is the cost of theft, would that be a line item?
I mean, to me, yeah, it certainly would be essentially a line item losses. You know, and you're gonna bake in, you know, certain, you know, whether it's returns, right? So think of returns. There's some things that get returned back to you, right? You're not gonna be able to resell. It'd be kind of a line item, I guess, there. To me, I mean, I have a hard time kind of believing a lot of that. I mean,
yeah.
To me, organized crime, it's stuff you would do out the back door, right, not the front door, number one. And you know, number two, I think the fact is, you know, you go to places and there's a lot, you know, there's less workers because of the fact whether they can't find them or that they're too expensive nowadays. And so, with less workers, I could, you know, certainly correlate that to, you know, maybe it's easier to do
stuff. It's easier to walk off,
I think they're also, you know, some of this is also, I've seen in areas where they're not prosecuting theft any longer.
Exactly.
So some of this is political to me,
yes,
where they're trying to, you know, get areas, you know, in certain parts of the country to actually, you know, go after these folks and actually, you know, I mean, you think of the, you know, I remember many times going to the grocery store and, you know, there's a, you know, a kid, you know, whether he's getting taught a lesson or what, right, where he's, you know, kind of standing outside, wait, you know, with the cop car out there.
With a candy bar in his pocket.
Right, right, and waiting for the parents to come, you know. So there's, you know, it's hard to believe. Actually, I think I heard Jim Cramer talk about he was somewhere recently and saw somebody stole a sweater right next to him and basically no one. To me, it was part political in terms of actually, getting, you know, the law enforcement folks to actually,
yeah,
you know, prosecute
need,
some of these things.
It sounds like they need help. You know, I know the Walgreens and CVS are having terrible problems. And, you know, I mean, they had the videos of, Nordstrom stores out in Los Angeles, et cetera, just being, you know, windows smashed and hauling off goods and everything. Okay, we talk about the metaverse. You know, you never know. We own Qualcomm, and we were pretty high on Qualcomm. And Qualcomm just, it was horrible. It was a horrible performer recently. And I finally pulled the plug on it. If you want a stock to go up, pull the plug on it. And it almost, you know, that'll get
right,
it going. Yeah. Almost immediately, it'll start rising. And you're sitting there going, oh, crap, why did I sell my Qualcomm?
How's your sushi stock?
Kira Sushi did that to me. But, you know, Qualcomm wants to be a major player in, guess what, the metaverse. They bought a company, Clay AIR, which tracks, it's an artificial intelligence technology that tracks your hand and gesture recognition. Qualcomm are driven by Clay AIR are driven by a common vision of powering a seamless and high performance metaverse experience for users and developers. So it's obvious that Qualcomm, which has always kind of nibbled at the edges, I mean, they were the de facto leader in cellular and wireless with their CDMA technology. And now they're a pretty big player in 5G. They want to be a big, you know, like Facebook. They want to be a FANG stock. I don't know how we're going to fit a Q in there. We'll figure it out somehow. But they obviously have aspirations to be part of the metaverse and big tech and whatnot. But I just found that interesting that, you know, they're going in the direction of the metaverse like Facebook is. Okay, now, just getting back a little bit more down to earth with more tangible stuff, AECOM, A-C-M. This stock we mentioned the other day, they reported really good earnings, and this is probably the best infrastructure stock out there. It really and they got a big contract. Look at the chart of that stock. It's a construction management planning service to the transportation. They're in the right place at the right time. It's $10.7 billion company market cap. It was ranked number 68 just a few days ago, and here they're getting a big deal today over in London. So if you're looking for a pure play, you know, you can buy. There's a lot of infrastructure ETFs. They've done lousy because 90% of the stocks in the ETF are horrible. You know, there's cement stocks.
Well, and they're commodities based. Yeah, you hit it right. And your commodities, you know, there's times where they run, but they're also going to be, you know, you're going to be tied to that commodity. Whereas this, like you said, it's a they do consulting, and it's essentially based off of government spending, right? Because they're going to do the planning behind it, so you're not tied to that underlying commodity.
Yep, so ACM is a pure play there on infrastructure, as opposed to an ETF like PAVE and a few others. Okay, when we come back, the stocks that jump off the page to us today, this is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite on this day before Thanksgiving. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And I think we're going to focus a little bit here in the oil patch here in the last quarter of the show. Now, before President Biden went off to Nantucket, he announced a release of 50 million barrels of oil. Okay, now let's put that in perspective. 18 million were already committed to be released to pay for some of the infrastructure bill that just passed. So that means they're releasing an extra 32 million out there into the supply chain. And when asked, they asked the energy secretary how much oil America uses every day. She said, "I don't have that number in front of me," which was a little bit shocking. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is the oil that he released is 2 days worth of oil. So it's not going to help oil prices and energy prices here. It seems to me like we've kind of created a problem for ourselves, but that's going to be bullish for some of the energy companies and I suppose the energy ETFs. It looks like we've got a problem on our hands that's not going to get solved anytime soon. So two stocks here that kind of stand out to me. The first one is a large oil stock. It's not going to be Exxon. It's not going to be Mobil. It's going to be a $30 billion company. Okay, this one is currently ranked. Let me just see where it's ranked in the app. Devon Energy, DVN, number 237 overall in the Best Stocks Now app. Now, I don't know if you had a chance to look into that. The MarketSmith is listing their dividend yield at 7.5%. And we've got to look into that a little bit.
Yeah, and they
today.
had a couple of, I think, a special dividend that may have played into that. So that's why their forward yield is roughly around that 7.7%. But they're more of a domestic player, and they've I remember them Remember the days of fracking, right? When prices, the interesting thing is we're going to start hearing a lot more about, about MLPs again, right?
Right.
And more of your various frackers now that the price of barrel of oil has stayed above a certain level for a period of time. It makes, I think the Balkan, I think we've got a lot more. Shale producers kind of coming back on board again, certainly kind of back, similar to back in the heyday, right? Of of, you know, kind of the mid 2010s, 2015, which is interesting, right? Because, you know, the current administration certainly not pro fracking, but they've driven, you know, driven the price of oil, a barrel of oil back up to where it makes sense to begin fracking
exactly.
again. So it's they're in a bit of a dilemma. I know, and I believe, I think they just raised a, you know, where I'm from in the Gulf. Gulf of Mexico area, I think they just hit a record number of permits for drilling. So it's they're trying to kind of do an about face while at the same time pleasing the green side of their constituency as well.
Yeah, well, Devon, you look at the chart of Devon, it's breaking out to a new high today that it hasn't seen. It was higher during the heyday of fracking. But it's hitting a 52-week high right now, and it's got a 98 relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99. And that is a beautiful chart on Devon Energy, DVN, which, you know, look, it's not as exciting and sexy as autonomous, you know, solar-powered cars. But it's going to be a long time. There's a long transition to get to solar-powered cars. In the meantime, what drives the economy and all these airplanes that people are boarding, these jets that people are boarding today, and these freighters bringing in the supplies from China that we need for Christmas and whatnot, it's fossil fuels. They're going to be around for a long time. We need them. They drive the economy. Devon Energy, DVN.
Yeah, try to tow your boat. Try to tow your boat with the Rivian with the AC on. We'll see how far you get.
I read that somebody, who was it, invested, I think it invested in electric boats, some big company like Brunswick or somebody like that. But, you know, I've looked into the electric boats. You can go about 3 to 5 miles in them. You know, so it's like almost a pedal boat. You could pedal a boat faster than these little electric boats, because there's so much resistance, you know, in the water and whatnot. But anyways, Devon Energy looks pretty good to me right now. The other one that really catches my eye is, we own Devon Energy, by the way. Callon Petroleum is the other one. I know these names from the past when we had the big boom in 2012, 2013. That was the fracking boom here in America. Callon is headquartered in Houston, Texas, CPE. It's smaller than Devon. It's only $3.4 billion market cap. No dividend. It's more of a growth play. But, you know, that one comes from my moving up in rank list today. So it hasn't reached, like, the top echelon in rank, but it's certainly headed in that direction, and the relative strength on CPE is 99. Now, get this, too, Barry. The PE ratio is 8, okay? It's not 210, so it's not going to be impacted by the discount rate or rising interest rates. If anything, rising interest rates move commodity prices higher. So there you go. That's those are the two stocks we'll feature here today, both coming from the energy patch. Well, you all have, I want to wish a happy birthday to Randall Miles. He's a listener, and he sent me a text message. He couldn't wait to listen to our show today, and he said, happy birthday to me. And that's all I know is his call letters are Randall Miles, so we'll wish him a happy birthday. And wish everybody else a happy Turkey Day. You certainly want to get the newsletter this week. There's no shortage. We didn't run out of ink. There's plenty at the supermarket. So it will be going out. No supply chain shortages here on the newsletter. And the information that goes into it, it's like none other. GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. And if you want to get positioned with a little bit more active management than maybe you're being offered at other firms, give us a call, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.